please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This is the text. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and love from the Lord Jesus. My dear brother and sister, the people at John's time knew all about the sacrificial lambs, the sacrificing of lambs. They were all acquainted with the stories and the history of the people of God sacrificing time and time again lambs for their own sins, to appease God, to thank God. "Behold the Lamb of God," says John the Baptist. And when he points to this Lamb of God, he knows that this Lamb is unique. This Lamb is one of a kind. This Lamb is special, because this Lamb comes from God and not from the sheep traders that raise lambs for sacrifice and make a buck in the process. John knew that this lamb would die for our sins with very, very special effects, with very special benefits for you and me. "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." There is a Bach cantata that repeats that 16 times. "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." It's worth listening to. Sacrificial lambs throughout the centuries, not pertaining only to the people of God, but to peoples throughout the world, they were always sacrifices to gods, especially the false gods. So sacrificial lambs is a very common concept, very common to many different cultures, religions, and civilizations. When God asked Abraham to sacrifice his own son, which was also very common then, when it didn't rain for a while, the farmer would sacrifice his firstborn son in order to entice rain from the gods, the false gods. Abraham did not think it was strange, probably, that this God would ask him for his own son. But Abraham knew that there was a purpose behind it. He thought, "Today I have a son. Tomorrow I'll have a little mound of ashes. How God is going to bless the whole earth, all the nations, through my little mound of ashes, I don't know. But he can do it because he is God." And Abraham went and put the wood for the sacrifice on the shoulders of his son. He carried the fire and the knife halfway up the Mount Moriah. Young Isaac says, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham said. "The wood and the fire for the sacrifice are here, but where is the lamb?" Can you imagine how that must have cut into the heart of the father? The father prophetically says, "God will provide a lamb, my son. God will provide." And driven by his blind faith in God, for the second time, the first time was when God said, "Abraham, leave everything and just go to the place that I will show you." So you can imagine him coming home and saying, "Honey, pack the bags, we are going to go on a trip. And she says, where to? And he says, I'm clueless, but I only know that we will follow God. God will show us. God will walk down this journey with us. God will walk with us. In His company, we can go without fear. That is applicable to our lives too, when God sends us on a wild chase in this sin-decaying world in which we don't know where this road will lead to, but we know one thing, that God will go with us. And as Abraham was preparing to sacrifice his son to God on the altar, bound and ready to die, Abraham hears the angel of God, do not harm the child. Take the ram stuck by his horns behind you at the thicket and sacrifice that instead. And he did. And God provided the sacrifice so that Abraham and you and I would not have to sacrifice to him. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Effectively, once and forever, the people of Israel, John's audience, were acquainted with the daily sacrifices of two lambs, one at 6 in the morning and one at 6 p.m. At the beginning of the day and at the end of the day. Two lambs were sacrificed in the temple every single day just because God had determined that through Moses. There were the annual sacrifice of the lamb at the Passover. Remember, in Egypt, the last night, they sacrificed a lamb and took the blood of the lamb and smeared it on the doorposts to indicate, here lives a believer. You and I, too, approach the altar of God and we take the blood of the lamb and we paint it in our heart. Because we take communion, because we believe. And so when the angel of God comes on judgment day and he looks at your heart, he sees that the posts of your heart's door are painted with the blood of the Lamb. Aha! A sacrifice has occurred here already. A sacrifice has been offered here. No longer any need for any more sacrifices because the sacrifice was the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God was what was needed here. The annual sacrifice of the Passover lamb was ineffective. And for that, on the night in which they were celebrating this sacrifice of the Lamb, on that Thursday evening, on Passover week, the Lamb of God institutes a new sacrifice, a new covenant, a new deal between us and God. Take, drink. This is my blood in the new covenant, which is shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. That is the effect of the Lamb of God, of the Lamb of God's sacrifice. The purpose and the effect of this Lamb are unimaginably great. From mortals, we become immortal. From earthly, we become heavenly. From human and banal and vulgar, we become divine. And those doors of paradise that were shut when Adam and Eve were kicked out, and a flaming sword flashing back and forth before the gate, the the sword is extinguished and taken away. And the cherubim keeping guard on that on that gate are gone. The access to paradise has been restored. That's the effect of the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. For the forgiveness of sins, not for our sacrifice. That sacrifice we do is no longer there. There is only one altar. The altar in which the Lamb of God gives us His body and blood. In Jerusalem's temple, there were two. One small and one large altar. On the large one were the sin offerings. Oh, forgive us, we are so sorry. And on the small one, the thank offerings to God. Because you have blessed me here, we sacrifice and we give you part of the harvest. We give you this animal and so on. Just as people in the Old Testament times, we too know a lot about sacrificial lambs and how useless their sacrifice was because it had to be repeated every day. And what we repeat every day, we grow used to, and then it goes straight over our heads. It is lost on us. The myriad blessings of God are lost on us. Because there are just so many. They are so consistent, so ever present, so abiding, so dependable. We take them for granted. And it's all is made possible by the sacrifice of the Lamb who bridged the gap between God and Adam and Eve. Between God and us. And He offers that right away upon our birth through holy baptism. He embraces us and says, you now are part of my flock. The Lamb of God who will shepherd His people, says John in Revelation. I want to see that. A lamb is a lamb and a shepherd is the one that takes care of the lamb, and yet the Lamb of God is our shepherd. That's beautiful stuff. Let's tell everyone about it. In the name of the Father and of the Son.